20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is my great pleasure to be joined once again by the wonderful Perry Goldstein and the equally wonderful Grant Bills. You can find him, of course, on the Wisco Sports Show. I almost said Wisconsin Sports Show. The Wisco Sports Show. You can find him on social media at Wisco Grant. You can find her on Packs What She Said. You can find her, of course, at Perry _ Goldstein. Perry, Grant, it's great to be talking to you once again. How are you guys doing?
All good. Just another Sunday. You know, ready for the week to start.
I love that so much.
I'm excellent. I get to go to the Brewers home opener this week, so I'm excited about doing that.
Your guys' jobs are way more fun than mine. So
I don't know if you know this, Grant. That's actually the first game of the Brewer season. It hasn't actually started yet. That's actually the season opener. So the season of baseball is starting fresh on Monday. Nothing that happened over the weekend actually happened. And yeah, that was an absolute nightmare. So I'm coming back from Florida. I got a little vacation time in, so I had to catch up on everything. So I just want to make sure that I caught everything here so you guys can figure out if I missed anything. All right, so Packers made a legendary signing by re-signing Christian Welch, practice squad, or not even practice squad, a off-season linebacker from a season ago. Jaire Alexander is still a Green Bay Packer. The league meetings are about to start up. We have no decision from Aaron Rodgers yet on where he's ultimately going to play. The tush push might actually get banned. It sounds like there is actually some support in the NFL for the tush push actually getting banned. We'll see if that actually happens. The Brewers are terrible. The Bucks are terrible. All the number one seeds won in college basketball, and sports are mostly stupid. Do I have that all pretty much covered and encompassed?
Juan Soto hit his first home run as a Met.
Oh, lucky you. Yay for Perry. I don't want to hear anything about a single a New York team hit a home run. What, he hit one? I'm sorry, he didn't hit 17,000 of them.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to run that in at all.
Aaron Judge just hit another home run as we're recording this. Well, they're not even playing right now. We just hit another
in this house either, so don't worry.
You're not an Aaron Judge household.
No.
We won't judge you.
We're Mets household.
Yeah. No, I don't even want to talk about any of that. But anything I missed, other than again, college basketball going chalk, not much in Packers land, and Brewers and Bucks being consistently disappointing. That's about it.
I don't think so. The first round of the tournament, everyone complained about it. I missed the first 2 days because I was in Mexico and I could not watch it. I tried so hard because we had like a down window on Friday, and it just doesn't exist in Mexico. Like the hotel room was all soccer. And then I tried to watch like the HBO app on my phone, and it was all Spanish shows because it's like location dependent or something. So you tell me that's how college basketball went. I completely missed the entire first round.
You didn't miss anything. It was probably the worst opening weekend in college basketball history. It was very bleh, and there weren't many good games. You literally didn't miss it. So there's probably the best weekend ever to go away from a tournament standpoint. But
there were World Cup qualifiers the last week. Right. If you like soccer, all the players were with their home nation teams. Now they're back. You get Champions League this week, guys.
Speaking of disappointing, though, that U.S. men's national team, another complete and utter disappointment, losing their last two games.
Yeah, but they're automatically in, so it doesn't matter.
I know, but still, like, ugh, sports are stupid. let's talk Packers, because I need Packers in my life right now, because everything else sports-wise is letting me down. And, of course, the Packers never, ever let us down, thankfully. It's always just sunshine and rainbows all the time in Packers land. What I want to do today, and this is not the easiest thing in the world to explain, so I'm going to apparently do my best to try to explain it. So I want to go through and kind of like the constant conversation of quarterbacks is always like, can you win a Super Bowl because of this quarterback, or can you win with them? Meaning you have to have sort of the ideal perfect conditions around them in order to win a Super Bowl with them. So I wanted to go kind of position by position today and kind of go through this and look at it in three different ways. Is this a position that the Packers can win a Super Bowl because of? Is it one they can probably win it with if everything else works out the right way? Or is it literally going to be a position that holds them back from even being able to compete for a Super Bowl? And then sort of in totality, I think we'll get sort of an idea of, A, is this team a Super Bowl roster? and people may have their preconceived notions on that already. And then B, I think part two of, you know, part two of this is like, all right, if there are these positions that like, hey, it's holding them back, what are they missing from that specific group, or what positions are missing that they need to still address in order to make them a legitimate Super Bowl contending team? So I think that's the best way to describe that exercise. Perry and Grant, can you give me a thumbs up if I explained that correctly? All right, we're in agreement. We've got this covered. So I don't want to start at quarterback. I want to actually get to quarterback at the end. So we'll save that for the main event. So we're going to go in reverse order. We're going to actually start on the defensive side of things. Look at that. I love that shirt. It is a great shirt. All right, we're going to start at safety on the defensive backfield side. Probably one of the easier ones to go with. This is a safety group that is obviously very, very talented, led by Xavier McKinney. You've got Evan Williams coming back for year two. Javon Bullard, probably going to play more in that slot position, but still very capable of playing safety. Then you've got some good depth as well in Zane Anderson, Kitano Ladapo, and even Omar Brown got a cup of coffee on the main roster this past year as well. So, Perry, I will start with you. Safety. Is this a position that the Packers can win because of, win with, or is this position going to be one that holds them back?
I mean, Zane Anderson, guys. No, I it's funny when you sent us this topic and then subsequently had to explain the topic. But once I got the topic, the first position I thought of is like a no-brainer. Like, they have someone in this group that is, could be a game changer in just by themselves. I thought of safety. I just think Xavier McKinney is that dude, who in a big game has, and in the future, I expect to be, the kind of playmaker that would put them over the edge. I like the talent around him. I like what they showed last season. I mean, they're rookies. So I'd like to see them take that next step. But I think Xavier McKinney alone puts them in the category of they can win with this group.
Grant?
I also think it's easy. I think that this is maybe not their strongest group. I hadn't really thought about it, but one of them, and it's Xavier McKinney. He's a top three or top five, you know, player on this roster any way that you slice it. And I also think, you know, safety and corner, they're kind of like neighborly positions, like strengths and weaknesses at one position can really impact the other sometimes. And the fact that they signed Nate Hobbs, and I assume they're going to draft at least a corner or two, means, and I guess maybe it's not fair to assume this, but I'm assuming that between Evan Williams, Bullard, Nixon, who's safety slash corner, like, long story short, I don't think these safeties, any of these players, are going to have to be put in positions where they shouldn't be set up to succeed. Like, I don't think because of roster shortcomings at corner or elsewhere that any of these guys are going to have to cover for somebody else or play out of position, which I think strengthens that group even further. So, and I think we'll all probably agree just because of the presence of Xavier McKinney and what Evan Williams showed in year one. But I think that's definitely a position they win because of and not in spite of or simply win with.
I totally agree. I'm on that same train as well. You've got one of the real stars on the team in Xavier McKinney. You've got depth, you've got talent, you've got playmaking. And like, this is one of those positions. And I know I'm like so hesitant to say this now because we talked about it last year with the wide receivers of like, look how many of these young players they have. And one of them's bound to step up. And it's like, okay, well, maybe that's not always exactly the way that it works in a perfect or an imperfect world. But you still have Evan Williams, who already, like, if he doesn't even progress, if he just stays status quo, that is a really good safety to pair next to Xavier McKinney for this foreseeable future. You know, Javon Bullard, again, probably doesn't play there, but I still think he has the ability to be a very talented safety in the NFL. I liked what I saw out of both literally Kitano Ladapo and Zane Anderson when they got opportunities to start last year, albeit in very, very small sample sizes. But I thought both of them, in their limited stints, I'm like, yeah, they both felt and looked like starters when given the opportunity. So I think they have everything that they need to win because of that group. And again, well, I want to be clear. I'm not saying like, oh, the Packers can win a Super Bowl because they have a good safety group. That's not what we're saying here, but we're saying if everything else is good, this safety group is more than good enough to be a big difference maker for this team. And I really love the work that Goody put in 2024. We can talk about some other stuff. The work that he did to make over that safety room in one offseason was pretty dang remarkable. And it is now a Super Bowl worthy safety room, in my opinion. Let's go ahead, Grant.
I was just saying, I think so too. Sorry, I had myself muted. I'm very much in agreement, yes, and in support of everything you said, Andy. Yes.
You're all good. All right, let's go to corner, because I think this is a very interesting one. As of right now, Jair Alexander is on this roster. Do with that whatever you will. I'm going to basically, for me personally, be pretending that Jair Alexander is not currently on this roster. You've got Keyshawn Nixon. You've got Nate Hobbs. Carrington Valentine, Javon Bullard probably playing some slot as well here. And then it gets to basically nothing land. You've got Kamal Haddon and Kalen King, a sixth and seventh round pick from a season ago that are on this roster. Isaiah Dunn, Caleb Hayes. We can go over all those guys, you know, whatever. But this is basically a three-man corner room in Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine, and Keyshawn Nixon, with also Javon Bullard being able to play in the slot. This is a really challenging one for me. This is definitely not going to be one that you are going to win because of. I think that it's trending towards a group that you can win with. I'm a little bit shaky on the depth as we sit here today, recording on March 30th, as like you have three corners. Kind of, if you take Bullard as kind of the safety slot guy, it's basically Nixon, Hobbs, and Valentine. And to me, that's not enough depth at the moment. To your point from earlier, Grant, I will say, I think this is a position that they are going to really build up via the draft. But as we sit here today, I'm going to actually lean towards a little bit saying that this would be a position that I think would actually hold Green Bay back a little bit if they didn't add anything to it, even though I think we can jump to the logical conclusion that they are very much not done adding to this position as is.
Interesting.
Harry, what do you think?
I don't know, because this is the same group as last year, and I didn't think that this group, plus Nate Hobbs, right? So you have the addition of Nate Hobbs. You really didn't have Jair last year. So I think it's fair to say, like, we can actually assess this group with an addition. And I didn't think that they were a detriment, really, especially towards the end of the season as they started to play more of as a cohesive unit. I guess you have the subtraction of Eric Stokes, but, like, to me that is a positive.
Yeah.
And Carrington Valentine was starting to play much better on the boundary. I thought Keyshawn was looking much stronger on the boundary as well. So if you're taking the trend into 2025, I'm leaning they can win with. I didn't view them as a detriment in 2024. I certainly would not look back on the season and say Green Bay was losing games because of their corner depth. Do I think that they, to your point, are a strength, like we just talked about with the safety group? Certainly not. And I agree that they should be adding pieces. But I wouldn't say I'm concerned going into that's interesting. I'm going to stick with how I feel. I would like to see them play together. But I certainly would feel much better if they had a blue chip player out there like Jair.
And it's almost like both ends to me is I wish they had a blue chip and I wish they had a little bit more depth. And they're like, I like Keyshawn, I like Hobbs, I like Valentine. I think Bullard's fine in the slot. It's all like, it's fine. It's good. I think again, the four of those together, I think you can win with. I just wish they had one more piece and I wish they had a little bit more depth on the back end.
Which they can do.
Yes.
In April, like they can do that. She's in a smart month, and we talk again in May and we feel very different about this group. Again, we have to totally see them play, because so much of draft talk is like asterisks with like, we've never seen these guys on the field, but I think we could feel very differently about this quite soon.
Big time.
I follow Perry's logic. That was basically the same thing I was going to say when she's like, well, they weren't a detriment last year, which I think a lot of people talk about them like they were. And they weren't. And maybe it's because they should have been. Like when we look at the players they were playing against the weapons that they were needing to cover. And it's like, well, they shouldn't have been. Like, I thought they got better corner play than they probably deserved given the investment that they made in that, or the lack of investment they made in that position. So I'm with Perry. Like, they weren't a detriment last year. And I think they've gotten better already before the draft. And I think they're going to add some picks. So no, they're not going to be the reason you win. But you can absolutely win with this group. Not every position group on your team is going to be a 10 out of 10, but I think this Packers corner group, especially again, assuming they had some draft picks, but even if they don't, they weren't a detriment last year. And really, I think you can win with them because you only need one or two of those guys to get hot for four games. I think they're plenty good. So, and everyone's like, I saw that clip with Sam Monson and Mina Kimes last week. And Sam kept making the point. It's like, well, now, and if they lose Jair, it's like they haven't had Jair. That's why they're dumping him, presumably, we think. So, no, I'm much higher on the corners than most. And I completely agree with Perry. I was going to say the same thing. They weren't a detriment last year, and I think they got better.
I was between the two. I will cede to you guys. I will say win with the corner group. So I will go in agreement with both of you. Like I said, I was between the two anyway. And I think, to your point, Perry and Grant, what you said earlier, once they add to this room come draft time and just when we see the finalized version, I think we're going to even feel different about it than we do today. Let's talk about off-ball linebacker. This is another interesting one. Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper are going to get the vast majority of the snaps. You've got Isaiah McDuffie and Tyron Hopper coming in after that. I think McDuffie probably wins that third linebacker job as is. Hopper probably still more of a special teams depth piece for the moment, although I think he will have an opportunity to compete. And then Christian Welch, as we mentioned earlier. I totally forgot, by the way, Christian Welch played 237 snaps on special teams for Green Bay in 2023. So he played one defensive snap for Green Bay in 2023 as well. But that's where we're at with Christian Welch. He kind of takes that Eric Wilson role. I think Wilson gives you better defender. I think Welch is certainly going to fill that special teams aspect of it if he makes the team. But Grant, I'll start with you this time. Win because of, win with, or detriment?
I think I'm going to say win because of, just because of Edgerrin Cooper. Like, that's my angle here. If the Packers are going to pass up the Vikings and the Lions and teams like the Eagles, you know, and other good teams around the NFC, I think a big part of that has to be Edgerrin Cooper being a star, trending towards superstar in year two and year three. And I know that's lofty, but just based on what we saw in year one, like I think if you would have to bet or put stock in young players on this Packers team, it's like, man, you know, like that's one I'd want to invest in. So I'm going to say win because of, only because I think Edgerrin Cooper is one of their few game-breaking players on defense right now. And those are the types of guys who make a play at the end of a playoff game that decides the result. And I think Quay's fine. And maybe Andy or Perry, you'll have something to say about this. I think Quay had a little bad luck last year in that he had a really, really bad, he probably had his worst stretch of his career mentally where he wasn't dialed in and things weren't in place for him. And then I think he started to get the train back on the tracks, and then Cooper got healthy and then Quay Walker got hurt. And then he came back and he's playing with a bum ankle. Like, I want to see those two for an extended period of time together healthy. And I think Quay is solid. But I think Edgerrin Cooper is a game changer is the reason why I'd say that's a position group that they could win because of in this upcoming season and not just, you know, survive.
PG?
I second it. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think Edge is like, if you're a betting person, which I'm not, but like, if you're betting on Packers' next big superstar, it's like Edge Cooper minus 120. It's just like, he is that dude. And when you're thinking about, you know, like we just said with Xavier McKinney, trusting that someone is going to come in and make a play that's going to change the game in your team's favor, it's hard not to think of him in that category as well. So I second it. I think Quay, I feel a little bit differently than Grant does. I think Quay is like a little inconsistent for me to feel like, I think you have Coop and then you have the rest of the group kind of weighing him. If you're not watching on video, I'm kind of tilting the scales a little bit downwards, but I think he's strong enough that I can see him pulling out a big moment. In the most important moments, and that's the game we're playing right now.
This would have been a win with for me. I've never been a huge Quay guy. I do think he took some steps last year. There was a stretch, there was about a 3-game stretch last year where I definitely thought he played the best football of his career. Just really want to see that a little bit more consistently. I will say I trust Xavier McKinney quite a bit and would trust him with just about an evaluation on anything, the amount of tape that guy watches and study does. He's pretty adamant that Quay Walker is going to be one of the, if not already, is one of the best linebackers in the league. So I'll just say, like, maybe I'm missing something there. I do think Edgerrin Cooper has the ability to be an all-world linebacker. I do think there were still some mental lapses, and hopefully those kind of clear up in year two. I hate, with a capital H, and I don't hate very many things, I hate that they lost Anthony Campanelli. I absolutely hate that they lost Anthony Campanelli because I think he was a phenomenal linebackers coach. And I think watching Edgerrin Cooper go from barely being able to play while he was getting his feet wet to a true legitimate star in the making from beginning of the year to end of the year, I think had, again, give Edgerrin Cooper the vast majority of the credit, but I think Campanelli had his hands in that as well. So I do dislike that, but I do think that this has the ability to be Cooper as a stud, Hoy is a good starter. McDuffie is like your prototypical kind of like number three kind of guy, a lottery ticket in Tyron Hopper, a special teams guy in Christian Welch. And they probably still add a like day three draft pick to come in and compete as well. I think this is a group they can win because of. I'm more in the win with category, but I will once again get outnumbered 2-1 on this one. And I'll go along with you guys. I was toying with because of, I would have went with, but I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it.
It's for me, it's mostly just an Edgerrin Cooper thing. And I want to have hope, and this is fandom, right? Like I want to hope that Quay really like kind of puts some of those spots together into one really nice season and, you know, the depth pieces or whatever. But really it's just, you know, if you can circle four or five guys on this roster to make a game to win you a playoff game, like I think Edgerrin Cooper is one of those guys. So I think for that reason alone, kind of that's my evaluation of that group, which is basic, I know, but
Here's a question I have for you guys. And I think this is actually an important distinction. Do you want to do defensive end and defensive tackle together or separate as two different groups? I was going to do separate.
Well, I feel like we could do them together because I think the answer is okay. The same for both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's let me explain my reasoning for asking, sure. and the reason behind it is because I think both of them independently are, you can win with them. I think the edge rusher group, if you had good defensive, like, you know, impact defensive tackles, you can win with the edge rushers. I think the defensive tackles, if you had impactful edges, like really impactful edges, you can win with the defensive tackles. All of them combined as of right now, I'm a little bit more on the fence of like, I think it's a detriment. I don't think they're getting there quite enough as a pass rush group. I do think they made incredible strides as a run stopping defensive line last year. And I think that still is not honored enough. And they still were number eight in sacks. So I'm going to say win with, but I think collectively it still gives me a little bit of an ick of like, man, I just really wanted one more something to get me a little bit more excited. The only thing they've done up until this point is lose TJ Slayton. And I get the offseason's not over, and I get there's a whole draft in front of us, and they might take three in the top three. They could take two defensive ends and a defensive tackle, or two defensive tackles and defensive end. I don't, like, we could see a very aggressive move at this position. But as of right now, I'm very much in between collectively win with and just it could be an issue.
I feel like you kind of have to talk about this more in terms of like runs defense and pass rush, right? So for me, I think about in run defense, I feel really strongly about them. I thought they took huge strides last season, and it could have been a scheme change with Jeff Hafley. It could have been, you know, probably a mix of also like talent taking a step forward as well. That I feel really good about. If you look at the stats, I mean, they held some of the best running backs to minimal yardage. It's pass rush to me that it felt like this team was winning games despite of the lack of pass rush. I don't think I'm saying anything new to anybody listening who watches Packers football. And to your point, Andy, I don't think they've made any changes really, or no significant changes by any stretch of the imagination. So they would have to add some kind of significant piece and or have one of their current or multiple of their current players do more to have me feel any differently about that group. So again, it's not necessarily position, but rather what they're being asked to do that I feel differently about.
In DeMarcus Covington, I trust apparently, because that's going to be their new defensive line coach is going to be what has to maybe get them playing at a different level. Grant?
Again, I'm going to just think of last season as a point of context and a reference, like I did with corner and like Perry and I did with corner. It's like, well, they weren't a detriment last year and they got better. Okay. So I think the pass rush, let's just say the defensive front as a whole, the D-line last year was something that prevented them from winning games. I think of the second Vikings game as an example. I thought by that point in the season, Jeff Hafley and his coaches had their talent playing just about as well as possible, about as well as you could expect, considering they were without their number one corner. And Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper had both missed time. There were so many instances in that Vikings game, the second one, where I thought, this is exactly how I would have game planned it. This is how I would have hoped for it to happen. I would have hoped to stop the run on first and second down to limit explosive plays and to force the Vikings into third and seven, third and eight over and over and over again. and just give your guys chances to every once in a while get off the field. And they couldn't. It's not only that they couldn't do it, like they weren't even close. I mean, it was third and eight, needed eight, get 12, needed seven, get 15, like over and over and over again. So last year they weren't good enough. They actively prevented the defense from getting enough stops and prevented the Packers from winning games. I'm with you, Andy. I love the line of thinking. It's like, well, you could live with these DNs if the interior was better, and you could live with this interior if the DNs were better, but both spots, both the outside and the inside, are kind of so-so. So you need a game changer to appear at one. Maybe that's Kenny Clark returning to form. That would change things. Maybe Lucas Van Ness comes out of nowhere in year three and really takes a huge leap. But as of right now, I think that's the position or the group on the defense that would actively hold you back from winning again, because I saw it last year. We saw it really cleanly last year.
There's a play against Philly early in the game that, the touchdown to Jahan Dotson, where Hurts has, what, 9 seconds in the pocket, and you're just watching him. And I get there's like a piece of Hurts of like you're trying to keep him in the pocket to some extent too, but it's just, it's painful at times. And I get that there that happens you know, in the NFL right now. Like, it's tough to get to the quarterback. Quarterbacks are like, but that's usually because the quarterbacks are getting rid of the ball quick. And that was like, he's just going to have 10 seconds to throw in the pocket in a playoff game. So I'm with you, Grant. I'm going to say it's a little bit more towards, and Perry from a pass rush standpoint, that it's a little bit more towards being detrimental to the team. I think there's still pieces there that can piece this together, and maybe DeMarcus Covington can get the most out of them and they can address it maybe via the draft somewhat. But as we sit here today, I do think not adding anything to the pass rush is a bit of a detriment, and they're going to need all those things that you mentioned, Grant, of Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark returning to form, LVN taking a jump, Devontae Wyatt playing his best football. I think they're going to need a lot of those things to go. Even with run defense, they haven't replaced TJ Slayton in any notable way, and that's like a pretty solid run defender for them too. So I'm going to say holding back right now.
Well, go ahead, Barry.
At what point does, you know, because we listed two position groups, right, that we think they can win because of on the defensive side of the ball. We've listed one that we think they can win with, and now one that we think is potentially a detriment. So in my head, I'm like, well, that scale is on the positive side. But at what point, like, that's us discussing this like everyone has equal value.
And it's not.
And I just don't think that that's the case, right? And as we're having this discussion, I'm like, I feel like this one area that every Super Bowl team needs to have, they win because of this, is where the Packers are. They're winning in spite of them. And that's like, I love this discussion because it's just, it's not, again, saying anything new, I think, that we already know, but it is highlighting, especially for me, like, this defense is in a really good place. It's in a really good place if they can just get this group of guys over a hump.
I'm so glad that you put it in that way, because I do not believe that you can win a Super Bowl if you can't get there with four. And it might not be like maybe it doesn't have to be like a top five pressure rate with your front four, right? Like, I'm not saying it has to be like that, but it probably needs to be in the top 10, and you need to be able to get there with some level of consistency. That, like, once you get to playoff time and all these teams are really good and they're all really well coached and schemed, the smoke and mirrors works, but only to some extent. And you've got to be able to just beat the guy in front of you. And I thought, again, go back to that Philly game, especially, by the way, when you've got a really good offensive line in Philly, I just didn't think that those guys could win enough up front to make it enough of a problem for Jalen Hurts and company. That was still, I thought, overall, like, the defensive effort in that game is probably not the main reason Green Bay lost that game. A key fumble on special teams, a very poor day on offense. That's the reason they lost. Like, the defense did everything they felt like they could to keep it in it, and it still felt like, man, you could really still use a pass rusher or two, at least maybe one of those guys showing that they can beat some of the best offensive linemen in the league.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess the silver lining is I agree. Like, I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with a bad defensive line. I can think of defenses recently that have unbelievable secondaries who have won Super Bowls, but they also had really good, like Tampa in 21, I think, is this great example. Their secondary is unbelievable, but their linebackers were killer and the defensive line was the balls. Like, so even in the examples where I think like, oh, that secondary was great, so was the defensive front. Like, I can't think of a team with a bad defensive front. But the good news with Packers fans is I think the base is built. They have a really nice base. You just need the But maybe that's also the bad news, is because that final piece is the most expensive or the most difficult piece to find. But it's not like they need to rebuild the whole thing. They're close, but yet they also feel so far away. It's a tricky spot to be.
Bring me Trey Hendrickson, Goot. Bring, just do it. I'll be very happy. It's never going to happen. I'm afraid to ask this one. Special teams, win with, win because of, win in spite of. I know that Perry's face is the exact way I feel. I'll make my, I think it pains me. I think they can win with the special teams. They have the kicker. I think they have the punter. Orzic's been better at long snapper. I like the Mecole Hardman signing. You know, whatever they do with Nixon, I still think you can probably use him in certain spots as a, especially as a kick returner. You know, they have some real nice pieces. Zane Anderson, Christian Welch, depending on, again, some of these guys making the team or not. I kind of like what they've assembled overall. I don't need it to be the top. I just, again, give me the 18th best special teams and I will sign up for it all day. They never seem to be able to be that, but I do think they've got actually the pieces in place to win with the special teams. And I'm scared to say that.
I think because you have a consistent kicker, I probably am with you. I really think that he, McManus, is the thing that leads me to believe that they can win with them. Because also, he literally won them how many games?
Yeah, in 2024, for sure.
Right? So yeah. I think it'd be hard to say otherwise. It'd be really like discrediting what he did. But the rest of it, I still kind of hold my breath.
Totally fair.
So, totally and fair. Hey, maybe Mecole Hardman can be like a fun kick returner and give them some juice. Who knows?
They've shown that they can do it. I think they did it and were relatively mistake-free for the entire season. Part of it is like, can you avoid making your biggest mistake at the most important time? And not only have Packers special teams, at least in recent history, and we're going back a while now, like I remember the Sean Slocum topics on sports radio in 2014. Like, it's not just that they've been bad and they've been bad, but like recently, the last couple postseasons, like their worst play shows up at the most important time. So part of it is that coaching? Is that prep? I don't know what that is, but that's an issue too. It's not just about the quality. It's about the performance in the most important moments. And that has sucked recently.
And not fumbling on the opening kickoff in a, you know, playoff game would certainly help. I get helmet to helmet, whatever, et cetera, but man, did not certainly help that overall aesthetic of the special teams of the last, I don't know, two decades, basically. Let's go to offensive line. This is another interesting one. They add Aaron Banks in the offseason. Josh Myers is gone. Andre Dillard is not re-signed, but mostly it's kind of the same group, save for, again, Josh Myers gone, Aaron Banks in. It's one that you can win with, win because of, or you have to win in spite of. Anyone feel strongly? Go ahead, Perry.
No, you go ahead. I don't know.
I think they can win. I think they can win because of this offensive line. I have a lot of faith in Zach Tom at right tackle. I have a lot of faith in Elgton Jenkins. I think he's going to be a really good center. I think you could make an argument that Zach Tom can be a top three right tackle in this league, if not better, right? I think Sean Ryan can easily be a top 10 right guard, maybe top 15 at worst. I think Elgton Jenkins is going to be a top 10, maybe top, I'm going to say top 8 center in the league, and that might be on the low side. I think Aaron Banks can be a top 10 to 15 left guard, and I think Rashid Walker, believe it or not, I think he can be a top 15 left tackle. So
talk me into Rashid Walker, Andy. That's where I lose you. And that's, yeah, and that's where things change for me, because again, it's, and the way I think about it is value. And I 100% agree on the rest of the line. And then I'm like, it's Jordan's blind side. Like,
yeah,
it's an important position.
You know, so first of all, I think, again, the value part that you bring up is fantastic. You know, overall, when you get him on a super cheap contract and things like that, that definitely changes the conversation a little bit. I'm curious where he ended up. So he was 41st on overall tackles, which you figure there's six for PFF. Again, that's just PFF. There's 64 tackles. So he's still, you know, within, again, a number two tackle basically in the league. And when you've got Zach Tom as your first, you feel good about it. I thought Walker played better in the end of like second half of 2023 than he did in 2024. It's going to be a contract year for him. If he goes out and plays well, he's going to get just a bazillion dollars. I think he is not the best pass blocking tackle in, like, by any stretch of the imagination, but I think for the most part, he's more than passable. as a pass blocking left tackle. He's a little bit underrated as a run blocking left tackle. I don't think there's anything that I can point to and I'm like, oh, look, he does this amazingly. But I think he's fine at just about everything. And again, I'm not Chad Cliftoning or David Bakhtiaring, you know, Rashid Walker here in any sort of way. I'm not saying like he's this stalwart, but I think he can be good enough to not only actually go out and play well, but I think he can actually earn that job and get another contract in Green Bay. So it's more of a faith-based approach, if I'm being honest. I can't point to anything over the last 2 years and be like, look how great he has been. But again, even with where he's been at, it's hard to argue that he hasn't been a starting left tackle in the league. That's, I think, maybe more of a indicator of where we are on the offensive line in the NFL right now. But to me, he's probably, again, top 15, top 20 left tackle in the league. And that's probably your weak spot. And by the way, you might still have Jordan Morgan, who has the ability to come in and compete with that as well.
Yeah. I think he's their weak link, which again says a lot when he's like an average, right? I still feel like they are a win with. They're an easy, they win with this line for sure, especially with the additions they made. And you feel really strongly about moving Elton to center. I agree with you that I think they can get to win because of this line. I just don't know if I'm there yet in my mind, given the changes and the shifting and new positions and whether or not they're going to have cohesion together. And I'm still not sold on Rashid Walker. And maybe I've just grown up with only like, you know, gold jacket left tackles. Yep. And I'm spoiled, but I'm not quite sold yet. But again, if he is their weakest link, they're in an amazing spot in terms of like comparing to the rest of the league.
This is just PFF again, so take it for what it's worth. They had him as their 18th best pass blocking tackle in the league last year. I guess it's one group's opinion. It's not the be all end all by any means. I still think there were struggles at times. I think he got pushed into the court, maybe didn't allow the sack or whatever, but got like pushed back into the quarterback where it collapsed that pocket around Jordan, which with Jordan is not ideal. So I think there's probably a little bit more to it than that, but I'm not talking 18th best left tackle. I'm talking 18th best tackle as a pass blocker in the NFL last year. Again, I don't think Rashid quite gets the credit he deserves, but I'm also not giving him a total pass either and being like, yep, you know, hands are clean, everything's good to go at left tackle. I do still think he can play better than what he did this past year.
I think they have to be a confidently win with position because they were really good last year. And they redshirted a blue chip O lineman and just spent $80 million on a guard. I know some of that money's fake, but like they've already been great, and they put two major investments into that position that should really start in theory paying off this year. I also believe that like I don't know once, and maybe we've talked about this, but once you get an O line that's a 7 or an 8 out of 10, I don't want to spin my wheels trying to get it to a 9 or a 10 out of 10. Like I don't think that's your best use of. I think that's your best use of resources. And last year they were top three in just about every single pass protection metric. I know Ben Baldwin, the computer cowboy guy, always puts out like the aggregate lists where he'll take like 3 or 4 pass protection rankings, then average them out and he'll give you the list. And the Packers were always at the top. And they were in like the top quarter, top third at worst in most run blocking metrics too. And Nate Banks should improve that. So like this O-line should be.
Aaron Banks.
Nate Banks. We're just combining Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks now.
They just spent a bunch of money on a guard who's a run blocker. So like they better be good enough to win with. Maybe they can get to a point where it's like that's actually they're winning because of it. But I already think they were knocking on that door last year. So I guess I'm a little bit more bullish on that unit than you guys are, which is fine.
I am going to go out on a limb now and say as well, people are going to really see a difference in Josh Myers not being out there. It was, I think, a much weaker link than anyone really wanted to admit. And I think it is going to be a huge upgrade going from Myers to Banks as a starter on that offensive line. I actually am also in the belief that Jordan Morgan can be a really solid starter. I don't even know that he starts to begin with. I think this is probably ends up starting with Rashid and Banks and Jenkins and Ryan and Zach Tom to begin with. But I think anytime when he's called upon, whether it's at tackle or guard, I think he's going to be a very solid and consistent starter as well for Green Bay. So I think they go 6 deep. I think they got rid of their weakest link. I think they added in what can probably be their third best offensive lineman behind maybe Jenkins and Zach Tom. And I think this is going to be a really good offensive line with or because of I can, it's probably somewhere in the middle. I'm happy to go with on this one, but I think it has the ability to be one that they can win because of.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to tight end. This is another really interesting conversation. You got Tucker Kraft, who is continuing to prove himself in real time right in front of our face, growing and becoming this complete tight end. Luke Musgrave, who's kind of doing the opposite and has been injured and has not really shown us what we have been hoped for. The idea of Luke Musgrave is awesome. The in-practice Luke Musgrave has been a little bit wanting a little bit more. And then you don't really have a number three tight end. They did not bring back Fitzpatrick as of yet. Ben Sims got benched for Fitzpatrick before the season was over. So they don't really have that number three guy that I think they have any real confidence in at this point. So it's an interesting group, but obviously led by Tucker Kraft, and that's a very, very, very important piece.
This is another one where I'm like, is it win with because of the depth isn't there, or is it win because simply because they have like that star guy? And maybe I'm higher on Tucker Kraft than other people, but like I'm fully in the camp that like Tucker Kraft is about to be like a star, or he already is. So do you say like you're winning because you have this like game changing tight end? Like every time he gets the ball, something fantastic happens, or he's making a key block. Like this offense runs differently when he's involved. I don't know. Maybe it's where we landed with the O-line, where it's somewhere in the middle and you kind of, you know, need a second tight end to at least be in the mix at all in some sure. consistent way, right? Because like two tight end sets are just like so important in Matt LaFleur's offense. And like, you know, when he throws Ben Sims out there, like defenses aren't necessarily, no offense, Ben Sims, taking it that seriously. So I think maybe that would be the thing that I would need to see for it to be because of, but Tucker makes it really, makes it worth the question.
I want it to be because of, I think it can become because of if Musgrave goes out and has a nice season. I'm going to say with right now, but that if Musgrave can just come out, stay healthy and show what we all thought he was capable of coming out of college, it completely not only changes the dynamics of this tight end room, I think it legitimately changes the dynamics of the offense in a pretty significant way. I think we see a lot more two tight end sets. I think it has the ability to be a really fun formation for Green Bay, but I have to see it with some level of consistency and actually impact before I'm ready to get there entirely. So I'm going to say with the potential to become because of if Musgrave goes out and balls.
Confident as of with. It's hard to believe that Luke Musgrave has been a Packer for 2 years, because it feels like for 2 years we've been saying, well, just wait until Luke Musgrave. You know what I mean? It's like, Jesus, he's going into year number three. I just looked it up just for reference. In 2010 and 2014, the two best Packers teams of my lifetime, we'll just leave 2020 wild. Let's look back at the Super Bowl and then a team that should have been a Super Bowl team. In 2010, they had Tom Crabtree, Donald Lee, and Andrew Corliss. And then in 2014, they had Brandon Bostic, Justin Perillo, Richard Rodgers, and Andrew Corliss. Like, I think this version of Tucker Kraft right now is as good or probably better than any of those guys. Corliss is pretty solid. I won't rip Corliss. But just the ability to throw it to him in the flat, knowing that he's probably going to run over or around a defensive back and get you those extra yards, that's just something that it seems like such a simple thing, but it's a thing they haven't had in forever. So just because of Tucker Kraft, a confident win with. To say they'll win because of, I feel like they would almost need a second guy. And I think that hinges on Musgrave, which is what you guys already said. So I don't need to belabor the point.
All right. We're with for tight end, with hopeful that Musgrave can break out in 2025. Running back, I'm going to say is fairly easy that they can win because of this running back group. Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd coming back, Wilson and Brooks both look good. I don't see any way where this is not because of. Anyone want to argue differently?
No.
Grant? All right. Easy. All right. Because of. We're going with it. Wide receiver. Wide receiver. It's certainly not because of. I think we can rule that out pretty easily. Is this
Grant
one that
likes to differ with that face?
Yeah. Is it one that they can win with? Or is it one that they cannot win? Or it's a detriment to the point where they cannot win because of the wide receiver group?
Are we including Christian Watson in this?
We can include 5 weeks of Christian Watson as a part of this at the end of the year. And then you come back and is he what? 80% of himself coming off an ACL and MCL.
I'm just, this is my question. Like, what are we including in this? Are we including Christian Watson at full strength, or are we looking at this season without Christian Watson? Because that's to me, that's like two very different conversations.
I think you have to consider it as a closer to the latter, where you're almost considering without him. The expectation is that you get him back around like week 13, 13, 14, 15. You have about 5 weeks. You figure he plays what, 20 snaps a week over those 5 weeks as he kind of ramps up and maybe gets back in the swing of things. You're probably talking about 100 snaps. That's if there's no setbacks. That's if there's not a just random other Christian Watson injury that seems to happen by happenstance as well. So I'm going with about 100 snaps of Christian Watson at probably about 80% of what we're used to. That's what, like, and if you get more than that, by all means, I will jump for joy. I will be very, very excited. I just don't think you can plan for that if you're Green Bay. Oh, Grant's on mute, but he agrees.
No, just by, like, no, you can't. You absolutely cannot plan for that. Like, we can talk about it because it's March and it's a big picture discussion podcast and we do it every day. It's pack a day. Yes. But like in the real world, like when people say, well, like next year, they just have to blah, blah, blah until Watson gets back. Like, I don't, God, no, I'm not thinking that way. That doesn't mean that we can't, you know, think that way for this exercise. But I think the Packers or any decision makers in the front office making plans to have Christian Watson back and have him back as a real factor at the end of the year, I think that's nuts.
Yeah.
So how that's does that? Yes, no, it's big time. I mean, man, that Bears game, it was the Bears game, right? That he got hurt in, correct? Like that was just an ultimate nightmare kick in the groin game in so many different ways. The Bears get their win against Green Bay. You lose Jordan Love, like Jordan Love gets hurt in that game going into the playoffs. You lose Christian Watson, not only for that playoff run, but then for probably almost all of the last year of his contract. Like it was just, what a brutal game that was.
I still think I'm at, they can win with this group.
So you're pondering win versus can't win. You're not thinking any higher. Like the ceiling for you right now is they could win with this group.
Yeah, they can win with this group. I feel much stronger about that answer with Christian Watson. However, oh God, I'm second guessing myself already. I think if Jaden Reed becomes who we hope Jaden Reed becomes, in that he is like the, not, I don't want to call him the one, but maybe the wide receiver focal point, the Tucker Kraft of the wide receiver room, the Josh Jacobs of the running back room, right? Like that
so dude. Wide receiver one.
Shh, I didn't say that. Don't make people mad at me. Then yeah, I feel really strongly about that. And I think that's like a very likely possibility. I want to see them add talent to this room still? Like 100%. But I think we've watched them win games with this group.
Well, I was going to ask, how would you, if let's pretend the season just ended, like how would you have labeled last year's group at the end of the year? What would you have said they were last year?
They were not good enough for sure.
And okay. And they're worse now. They don't have Watson for most of the year. So I know.
This
and
is
I'm not faith. Fighting this with
is
you.
Blind,
like
this is blind faith. Simply because like I think there's a large enough sample size of this group winning games. Like I'm thinking about like the Cowboys playoff game from 2023. Like that group went out and dropped a 40 burger on the best, you know, seed or the best team at the time. So like they're capable. They are capable. Did they show up last season up to their potential? No, by no means. But that doesn't mean I think that that's who they are now.
Does Grant, that make I know sense? you're champing at the bit here. I know you want to get after
no,
it.
No, so like I don't ask Perry like a question there because I want to change your answer. It's just I'm fighting this battle. There's two things going on. On one hand, I still really love Wicks and I really love Reed, and I still think Dobbs is really nice. The concussion stuff scares me. So let's just talk about those three. And I think they're going to draft a guy, at least one guy. And I think it might be in the first round. I got my hopes high. Again, And I'm going to give the You Fell For It award again. So I really like this group. And I'm excited about steps that they could take this year. But I also watched all the games last year, and in some of the biggest moments, they weren't quite good enough. So there needs to be a lot of internal development for them to go from can't win with to simply win with. We need to get to the middle outcome, right? And is the middle outcome even good enough for this team to win the division if the tight end is also in that same room? You know what I mean? Like, and then we start to compare it with the other groups. So like, I need a leap of faith to get to win with. And I don't know if win with is good enough. I know that's a word salad, but I think you're following. Okay, you got it.
I think we're answering this the same way. My answer is my faith-based. Like, I really think that if they take that leap, they get there. Do I think that's where they ended the season? I answered your question. Like, no, they were not good enough. By no means were they good enough. I just think that I've seen the flashes and the games from the players that I think that like the ceiling is there for them to be a group that this team can win with for sure. We'll get to Jordan. We're ending with him, which is a very interesting choice, Andy. You're keeping the people listening.
A great choice, Andy. An excellent
but
choice.
But I think also part of this is like, does their quarterback elevate them or not?
Bum, bum, bum. Right?
So this is, and also like we're talking about these positions as if they're in a vacuum, which they're not.
Right. And here's where I'm at. I'm going to ultimately go with, I've made this argument that the weapon group as a whole, when you consider Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft and Jaden Reed with Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Doubs, I still think that is a good enough. I think it's mostly a good enough group on the whole with a good offensive line, which we've talked about. We're going to talk about Jordan Love in just a moment. I think the win with means like you have ideal conditions almost, and maybe closer to ideal conditions everywhere else. You can make the argument with the offensive line. If Jordan becomes what we hope he can become, Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft, that this is a wide receiver group that you can win with. My big caveat that I've said to this all along is they have to find a deep threat. They have, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be like a consistent, like game breaker. It has to be somebody that has like can at least strike a little bit of fear in defenses to be like, oh yeah, we can't let this guy behind us. Because I just think things get so damn condensed when you don't have that piece. And I think Christian Watson is so important for that reason. And without having that, it just makes things very, very difficult. And even Aaron in his prime, and I'm talking, this is right when Jordy tore his ACL. When Jordy tore his ACL and they no longer had that guy that could win on those vertical routes on the outside like Jordy was doing consistently. I remember, I've told this story before, I remember it clear as day. They were playing the Rams early in the season. It was like week two or three. And Rodney McLeod was at safety for the Rams and he was playing single high safety. And I laughed. I was in the end zone. I had end zone seats. So it's basically me getting the all 22. I can see exactly what Aaron's thinking. And Rodney McLeod's in single high. And I laughed. I'm like, you guys are idiots. Like Aaron just, he will tear you apart all day in single high safety. Like he will just throw over the top of your corners all day and he'll bait that safety one way and he's going to throw to the other. And then have Jordy. And all of a sudden they didn't have kind of their guy that could win on the outside consistently. And all of a sudden they pressed on the outside. They pressed played man-to-man press. They completely took away the outside wide receivers. There was nobody who could win on those vertical routes to the outside anymore. And you had one safety over the top just to kind of prevent everything, which is Rodney McLeod, who did a great job getting sideline to sideline. They took that extra safety. They played him in the middle, in the box, made it impossible to run the ball because you were getting disadvantageous looks at the run game. And you took away the middle of the field where Aaron was loving to throw like all those short intermediate passes to his tight ends and all those crossers and everything else. All of a sudden, this offense that was a juggernaut with Jordy, like now all of a sudden, everything became a challenge. That was with Aaron in his prime. And you take away that deep threat in an offense and you really all of a sudden take away the space for Tucker, for Jacobs on checkdowns, on Jaden Reed on some of the over the middle stuff, Wicks, Doubs over the middle, like everything just becomes tighter. And that is still definitely a fear of mine is do they have that deep threat that can threaten down the field and win some of those one-on-one matchups if they are playing some of that single high or whatever defense that they might be playing. It just gets a lot more complicated if you don't have that guy.
I just looked it up. Rodgers had two interceptions that day and was their leading rusher. That's always a sign that the team.
Week three. They ended up winning the game, by the way. They shouldn't have. The Rams.
They held them off, according to the AP story that I'm reading.
Yeah, the Rams outplayed them in that game in Green Bay. It was like, I think Packers were favored like 14 points going into that game, something crazy. And the Rams put together, and by the way, the rest of the league just copied and pasted that game plan for basically the rest of the season. After that, again, I remember it clear as day. I was laughing in the stands, being like, good luck. Aaron just tears apart that defense all day long. And then no Jordy and no dice.
Oh, that was the Quentin Rollins pick six game. Yeah, Nick Foles had four interceptions that game. God.
Yeah, that definitely helped on the defensive side of the ball. That's for sure. Let's get to our main one, obviously. Go ahead, Barry.
I was just what to get them to a place where you feel confident. Sorry to like stop us going down memory lane 55 minutes into the episode. What do the Packers need to do with the wide receiver room to get us to a place we feel confident?
Yeah, I just think they need some sort of deep threat on the outside that can win with some level of.
So you're saying go out and get someone, either draft them or sign someone.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nobody to sign left that can do that, by the way. So this is pure find a trade, and there's not a ton of options out there that I can really think of. I've floated the Darnell Mooney, Alec Pierce's, hey, can you figure out a way to make these work? Even though I don't think the Colts or Falcons are going to be in any sort of hurry to trade Alec Pierce or Darnell Mooney in those situations. So I tried everything I can to figure out a guy that could maybe make this work. I don't really see one in free agency or via trade, which gets you to the draft. And I don't know. Again, you found an MVS in the fifth, sixth round when they drafted him that at least had the ability to stretch the field. It wasn't efficient. It wasn't like the greatest deep threat in the world, but it changed the dynamics a little bit of who was on the outside. But Corey Bradford back in the day, I don't even think he could catch the ball, but he garnered enough pass interference penalties and had the speed that teams were at least aware of him and concerned about him down the field. I just need somebody who has that speed on the outside who can at least threaten that a little bit and maybe change the dynamics or at least give you a puncher's chance if teams are going to play up and aggressively. All right, we've got this guy that's going to run past you. Let's give him a chance and hope that you either get a pass interference or you can come down with the ball. That's where I'm at. I mean, ideally, give me a number one. My goodness, I'll take a all-pro wide receiver on the outside. If you can find it, just, you're down to rookies at this point and it's tough to ask anything like that to add to this room.
Yeah. If only it was 2019, they could just bring in old DeSean Jackson. I feel like he filled this role for so many teams year by year at the end of his career.
He's still out there, go get him, go get DeSean Jackson. All right. Let's talk about Jordan Love. Can you win because of him? Can you win with him? Or is he the one that's holding this team back?
Who's going first?
I mean, I can go first. I don't think he's holding the team back. I think every quarterback is capable of making a play that in that moment holds their team back. But in the big picture, I don't think he held the Packers back. I think all too often last year, he was the reason they let me rephrase that. I think last year, all too often, he needed to be the reason that they would win a game and he couldn't do it. But I don't think he was the reason they didn't win. I know he had that horrible pick six against the Rams, the horrible one against the Lions. But I don't think he in the big picture last year was the reason that they were losing. I would like him to be the reason that they win a little bit more often than we saw last year. And for that reason, I'll say they can win with him.
Perry?
I think when we talked about the criteria for win with, what Andy sent in the chat was you win with this guy when things are perfect around them. And I don't know if things need to be perfect around Jordan for him to win. I do think that he does have a little bit of magic in him. He's got a killer arm and we saw him use his legs when he was healthy and he, yes, goes through his reads, et cetera. And I think he's gotten better being comfortable in the pocket, but he can make some off script stuff that is really awesome that not a lot of quarterbacks can do. So for that, I feel with a little bit more development and time with this group and this offense, I do think he can become a guy you win because of. I think he's got some of that magic. And I mentioned it already, but I go back to that Cowboys game in the playoffs. I just don't think anybody wins that game under those circumstances against that defense. Last season was a tough one to add to his like book of business, if you will, because he was hurt so much. And being so in and out and inconsistent with your guys is tough when you're so early in your career. He's certainly very much someone you win with. Like, he's a winning quarterback. He's somewhere, I think, in between for me, because he's not consistently, to your point, Grant, the guy who's out there like winning games. Like, he's not Aaron Rodgers throw the team on your back, like Mahomes end of game magic. Like, we haven't seen that from him yet. And he has had some pretty bad plays, but I think he learns from those enough that I feel like he'll get there.
I think we've seen over two seasons, I thought the first half of 2023, even Goody said it, the trade deadline of like, we're going to learn a lot about Jordan in the second half of the season, basically to see if we can win with this guy. Like, they were not sold going into the second half of 2023 up until they saw the second half of 2023. And I thought that first half was like still questions. I think the second half of 2023 is, you not only did you see you could win with him, I think you saw more than a few flashes of, oh, we can win because of this guy. Like, he's that good. And then I think last year is marred with so many injuries and inconsistencies and just not a consistent enough offense around him as well. And just all of it altogether, the offense, the playmakers, him, the injuries, all of it, that would say you can clearly win with this guy, but I don't know that I can get to the point of, winning because of. I think 2025 tells us the story. I think it's the biggest story. I think it is still 1A, like, of the differentiator between, all right, do the Packers need to put Jordan in more idealist? Like, do you have to get him a number one wide receiver if this thing's going to work in order for him? Like, do you have to be that team that's like, all right, we got to go all in to get these pieces around him if we really want to win, because he can't do it. Like, he can't be the one that elevates this offense. Or are we going to see with Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, and Dontavian Wicks and Romeo Doubs, where he's like, no, I got this, guys. Oh, I will literally elevate this offense on my own, and we're going to be a top five offense because of me, and we can win playoff games and or a Super Bowl because of me. I personally can't get there yet. I've seen signs of it. I haven't seen it enough consistently. So I am very firmly in the win with category, with the belief that he can become a because of guy, but I want to see it consistently in 2025. And I think 2025 is going to tell the story.
Well, and I think you have to take all the data over the course of a season, but over the course of this last season, you saw throws where it's like, oh, he can win you games with plays like that. And then the next week he makes throws where it's like, oh, those throws will cost you games. So when you take all of those moments together and you put them in a big pot, you get, okay, we can win with this guy. Like, it balances out right in the middle for me. I think that's what last year showed us.
And here's the other thing too. Like, we are still seeing Jordan figure out the right mixture of what he needs to be as a quarterback, like the right calculus of Jordan, because I think we saw, like, he's at his best usually when he's hitting the back of his drop and letting it rip and being a little bit of kind of the gunslinger. And then it was like, whoa, 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 like we need to like kind of rein this back a little bit. And you reined it back and it's like, well, now you're like, yeah, you're not turning the ball over anymore, but now like all of your awesome stuff is also gone. And like, I don't want that either. So it's like, I think he's still finding that balance too of like, when is the time to put the Superman cape on? When is the time just to take the easy stuff? I can't water myself down to just be a check down guy that's just like, oh, yep, like we'll just take this here and there, because the offense doesn't run at its best when it's like that either. So he's got to find still, I think, that perfect calculus of who he needs to be as a quarterback. And I think that's still a very, very standard protocol for a quarterback that's in his third year as a starter.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you guys. I think I can land in the they win with him category. Here's my question. Sorry, we are going long, but this is where I get with Jordan, which is like, how, when you think of all of the starters, right? You think of 32 quarterbacks, how many of them have Jordan's abilities? That's what I ask myself when I'm like answering this question, right? Because yes, you look at a few of those boneheaded moves and you're like, all right, I really wish you didn't do that. Like that, what that Lions pick six will haunt me forever. I think you, a lot of this, you coach out of him and he learns to your point, Andy, like figure out the balance with time and experience on the field. How many other quarterbacks though can do some of the amazing things that he has done? Like, I think that pot shrinks. So I don't know if like, I'm simply just looking at, okay, here are some of the bonehead things he's done and here are some of the great things he's done. And when you put it all together, it evens out because the great things are rare. Like they are just not, you're not going to get on just any other quarterback who can do those things. And that's why I'm like, the floor just feels higher to start with.
Let's, Lamar, Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Jaden Daniels, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, CJ Stroud, Matthew Stafford. I mean, and then you can get into like some interesting conversations.
So then you go, okay, so we think of all those guys. Are we putting Jordan in the category with that large group?
I mean, I think you can break
them out. You break them out, right? There's two. Yeah. There's greats who have already proven that they're great. They've won MVPs, right? But there's a category in there. And are you saying like, do the Texans win because of CJ Stroud? Do the Chargers win because of Justin Herbert? Like that, like, you know, and we can go down a rabbit hole here, I'm sure. Yeah. It's, I think, easier to be a little bit more objective when it's not your team, because I would say yes to those things. So why not yes to Jordan?
I think we're going to find out.
We are. I like the Stafford mention lastly, because that's like my dream, is like he becomes Stafford, where, yeah, you'll have the bad picks, but like he can make you throws to win games when he's on at the right time. And we've seen that work with Stafford. So that's kind of my guy. I'm glad that you mentioned him.
I don't know. Just my thoughts as we're having this
conversation. And I think that's the beautiful thing of it. I don't think there's a right answer here, by the way. And I guarantee there's going to be people in the chat that say it's you can't win with Jordan Love, which I think is not fair. I'll just put it that way. I am much closer to him being a reason that they will win this than the other way around. And I definitely am in the category that you can at minimum win with him. But I think this is the beautiful thing of where he's at in his career. He started for 2 years, one of which was his first year as a starter, and there was definitely a learning curve, and the other of which he was injured for the entirety of, with three different injuries, of none of which were insignificant. Like, I still think that this is a beautiful mystery, as Aaron Rodgers would like to say. And I feel like we're going to unwrap a lot of that beautiful mystery this year, and all things willing, hopefully just stays healthy in a very beautiful way. And we get to actually see what a healthy, by the way, I thought Jordan going into camp in preseason last year looked phenomenal. I thought his deep ball took a massive step in the right direction. Like, remember the one throw he made in preseason was like the most beautiful, perfect deep ball. Like, that's what we saw all training camp long. Like, he looked better going into the regular season, out of camp, and everything that he did at the end of 2023, in my opinion. And then injuries hit, and it sucks. It is what it is. But I think there's a very special talent there. I just want to see it consistently, and hopefully the health of Jordan really dictates the fact that we're going to see that this year.
Yeah. And maybe people think I'm biased because, like, you know.
You're wearing the Jordan shirt.
I am wearing the Jordan shirt.
It's a good point, though. This exercise is easier with other teams' quarterbacks. And I think you're right about that. I'll be thinking about that this week.
All right, so safety, win because of, corner, win with, linebacker because of, defensive line / defensive end holding you back, special teams, win with, offensive line, win with, tight end, win with, running back, win because of, wide receiver, kind of maybe win with, sort of ish, and then quarterback, win with. Are we good with that overall?
Yes, and that's too much win with on the offense, which is evidenced in kind of how they had a ceiling last season. So that's something that needs to change.
Here's, and I think it's a perfect way to end it. If this team with the win with Sun, tight end, offensive line, wide receiver, et cetera, right? What do you need to have elevate you when your coach is a offensive minded coach and your quarterback is a top three highest paid quarterback in the league, top five, whatever it is now, that's what you are expecting to elevate your win withs everywhere else. And that's why, to me, like the burden of like, being an amazing offense, which, by the way, like they were still a top 10 offense in everything last year. Like the burden for them to be a top five Super Bowl winning offense is on Matt and Jordan to elevate this offense everywhere else. And that doesn't give Brian a pass, by the way, and say like, well, you can just ignore wide receiver and blah, blah, blah. Like, you still have to fill it out, but like the burden is going to be on them a little bit more because you are putting a lot of responsibility in those, in both of their hands.
Yeah.
But, all right. It's a perfect way to end. I don't know what we learned from this, but I think we learned things, and that's important. Perry, what can we learn about Pax, what she said, and all of your incredible work?
We'll be back.
Can you win with it? Can you win because of it? Or is it something that's holding Pax, what she said, back?
I don't know, but we'll be back with draft content. Probably we're shaking things up a little bit with the way we're handling things. So I won't say more. You'll have to come listen. But yeah, weekly till the draft.
I will answer it for you. Perry and Maggie are people that you can win with because of every single time. I almost biffed my own rating scale after explaining it to you ad nauseum for the last 3 hours. They are people you can win because of. So go check out Pax, what she said, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Grant, tell us all about all of your incredible work.
Incredible. The Wisco Sports Show, Evening Drive, 4 to 6 stations around the state, and it live streams. Probably the best way to find it is on Twitter. At Wisco Grant.
Love it. Go follow both of them at Perry_Goldstein, at Wisco Grant. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do for Perry, Grant, and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.